I would also like to greet each one this morning in the worthy name of Jesus, the one where we can find our strength in whatever situation that we find ourselves in. Appreciated those words of encouragement and how our thoughts were drawn towards God. And certainly, He is the only one that we can look to for strength in these times. For a message this morning, turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 4. My thoughts were also drawn towards the elderly among us, and some are here this morning, some aren't, and the difficulties that they're facing in latter years of life. And not only the elderly, but others among us in whatever situation we find ourselves in that may be difficult, I'd like to encourage this morning. The message is, I'd say maybe a bit of a twofold message. One is, like I mentioned, to bring encouragement to each of us, but especially to the elderly among us. Those that are facing difficulties. And the other is to help us as younger ones to understand why some of our older brothers and sisters express the concerns they do about the church and the future of the church. And that we could be encouraged not to pass it off just as being old-fashioned, but really take those concerns to heart. You know, in this passage here, Paul knew that his life was almost over. He knew that his time here was coming to an end. And these were some of Paul's closing comments to Timothy. Now, he wrote the book of 1 Timothy and the book of 2 Timothy. A lot of good exhortation to Timothy. But he's coming to the close. These are some of his closing remarks to Timothy. And Paul was concerned that the gospel would continue to go forward, that the word of God would continue to go out and make a difference in the lives of many people. And as I was thinking about it, I thought how life is in one way like a relay race. You know, we have probably all seen relay races at times. You know, we've seen at different times at school where one group or one person takes a certain item to a certain point and then another person takes it on. And it's a team effort. We work together for this common goal. For the Christian, for the church, it's also like a relay race. One generation is given the responsibility to spread the gospel, to live it out. And as time goes on, that responsibility is passed on to the next generation. And that's how the church has gone forward since the beginning of the church and how it will go forward. It's passed from one generation to the next. That responsibility is given to us here today. You know, we will all grow older. We are all growing older. And we're not here to stay. My grandfather often spoke of the torch of faith being passed from one generation to the next. And we're in that generation right now that is given that responsibility to pass it on or to take it out to the world. To do our part right here. If the Lord tarries in 100 years from now, it'll be someone else. It'll be the next generation. And Paul was about to pass this baton, if you want to call it that, on to Timothy. That responsibility on to the next generation, to Timothy. And he wanted to make sure that it goes on. He was concerned about that. Paul didn't see it as just his own project of preaching the gospel and the church just so it goes on in his lifetime. He wanted to see it go on forward, even after his death. It was a group effort, a team effort, to spread the word of God, and it's important that we look at it in that way. Let's read 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'd like to read verses 1 through 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, this is Paul speaking to Timothy. Who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their own ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, and make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. So Paul starts out in the beginning of this chapter saying, I charge thee, or I protest earnestly. He was emphatic about this, that Timothy should take this on. It's not just a casual effort. But I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, and he's the one that will judge the living and the dead at his appearing. So he's charging each one of us that we should be faithful in taking out the word, in living out the gospel. And that charge is given before our judge, the Lord Jesus Christ. But some of you might say, well, we're not all given that charge to preach the gospel. The reality is we are all leaving a message. Some in one way, some in another. But we are all leaving a message to those around us. By our words, what we say, our actions, our clothing, by the way we relate to others, our business dealings, and the list could go on. We are leaving a message. And people are seeing that. And it's so important that we leave a clear message. Verse 2, it talks about preaching the word. Be instant in season and out of season. We need to leave a clear message when it's convenient and when it's not convenient. All the time, we are to leave this clear message for Christ. Why the urgency? Verse 3, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. There are distractions along the way. There are those turning away from the truth. And so there's urgency that we leave this clear testimony in this world that we're living in the time that we've been given. So many distractions that face us from day to day. And I had to think of some relay races that I've seen in school. I think we can all relate to that. You know, there's a team maybe is made up of some of the older ones in school and possibly some of the first graders or a kindergarten. And as you see, maybe an older one, someone in 8th, 9th, 10th grade, doing the first part of the race, you can see they're going with effort. They have a goal in mind. And then you might see someone in, say, first grade or kindergarten that, yeah, they're running, and yet they're being distracted. They don't necessarily see the importance of it quite like the 10th grader did. We see that. And, you know, the more we are distracted, the easier it is to fall. And so it's important that we are focused on what we can do for the team, for the church. It's a team effort, and it's important that we don't become distracted, or we will fall. And he talks about that in verse 3. So many turning away from the truth, and we see that all over. In verse 5, it says, "But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry." I like the way the Amplified puts it. Verse 5, "But as for you, be clear-headed in every situation. Stay calm and cool and steady. Endure every hardship without flinching. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill the duties of your ministry." Now you might say, "Oh, I don't have a ministry." Well, I looked up the word ministry, and it's about giving of ourselves and our time, talents, and resources to bless and help others. And I think we can all do that. Giving of ourselves, our time, our talents, and resources to bless and help others. And I'd like to, for each one of us this morning, to sense that urgency to make full proof of our ministry, or make full proof of doing what we can to bless others, to encourage them, to lead them to Christ, to show them the way to Him. Now think about me, with me a little bit on how Paul must have felt. So he was coming to the end of his life. He would probably be put to death soon. And he was giving his closing comments to Timothy. He had put a lot of work and efforts into spreading the gospel, in telling others about God, many years in preaching the word. And he went through a lot of difficulties with that. He invested a lot of time and efforts into building the church. And so he cared deeply about that. And the more, in general, the more we invest in a certain thing, the more precious it is to us. For instance, if I buy a $500 car, I will probably look at it a little bit different than if I buy a $50,000 vehicle. And the more we invest into the spiritual growth of the church, I think the more we will be concerned about it. Some of the older ones here in church have also invested a lot more into the church than what us as younger ones have. And you see some of that concern. You see it in the life of Paul. Paul learned a lot from experiences of life and the dangers and the distractions, and then the consequences that come from that. Paul was looking at that and was concerned about how Timothy would respond to those things. He cared about his teammates. Timothy was a teammate. The church was in the same team as he was, and he cared deeply about that, and he cared about the outcome of the church. He knew his time was about over, and it was someone else's turn to take it on. He cared about the churches. He cared about the people of God, and ultimately he cared about how the glory of God would be portrayed in his people. And I'd like for all of us as younger people to think with me a little bit about our other older brothers and sisters here in the church. The reality is some of them won't be here very long anymore. That's a reality of life. Another reality is that it won't be long until we're in their place. And it does us good to think about that. Time really is short. Someday we will be the older ones in church. And do you think that some of our brothers and sisters here in church have some of the same thoughts and concerns that Paul had for Timothy and for the church there? Do you think that they have learned some of the dangers and consequences of distractions that they have faced? Paul had a lot of words for Timothy, and I don't know what went through Timothy's mind in all these things. Did he think, well, what's the fuss? Who does he think I am? Paul's just old and, you know, he's in the older generation. Some of those things that go through our minds sometimes. Timothy was tempted to think any of those things at times. Possibly he was. But when we're tempted to think of things like that, think of the experience and the wisdom, the investment that our older brothers and sisters have made in the church. And they're trying to help us so we don't make the same mistakes that they have made. We need to learn from the mistakes of others. There's no reason we need to make the same mistakes over again. Think of them giving us instruction, just as Paul was giving Timothy instructions. Now, some words of encouragement for older brothers and sisters, and for all of us. We all need to be encouraged at times. As we face life, we face difficulties. We face challenges. And in verse 6, it seems that Paul was making a bit of a transition. Up until this point, he was thinking about the churches, thinking about the future of the church. And then he goes on, and it seems he sets his sights forward. And I think he did all along, and yet in a little bit of a different way. And I think as older people, as they face the end of life, you know, there's a bit of a shift in what they focus on. And that rightly so. And we all need to be focused upon the eternal at all times. And yet we are very focused on earthly things. You know, we're called to occupy, to be busy in things here on this earth with family. And I saw it in my mom as she faced the end of life. There's just a change. And so here Paul was looking forward, and he says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. The things of this earth were growing dimmer, and the lights of home were shining brighter. Paul said that he's ready to give himself as an offering. He was willing to give himself to God. A sacrifice was an act of worship, and Paul was willing to give himself as an act of worship to God. No, he didn't choose how he wanted to die. He didn't choose the difficulties and everything that he needed to face. But he knew God knew best. And you know, it's as some of you grow older, your bodies grow weaker, you can't choose those things. And yet the encouragement to you is that you choose to worship in submission to God. Our sovereign God that knows best. Trust that God can be glorified in the life and death He is choosing for you. Again, it's good for all of us to think about those things. We don't know when our life is over. We don't know what we will face tomorrow. But we all need to trust that God can be glorified in our life and in our death. Choose to think about God and not what you're giving up. You know, that shift in focus does so much for us. If we think only about what we can't do anymore, we tend to become discouraged. But if, as the more we think about God, we can be encouraged. So think about God. Paul also goes on to say, the time of my departure is at hand. Paul didn't say, you know, I'm about ready to die. It's just about all over for me. you know, I'll soon be gone and that's it. He didn't say that. He said, the time of my departure is at hand. He was referring to, the word that he uses here is referring to pulling up the stakes of a tent. He was pulling up stakes and he was moving somewhere else. He was about to lift his anchor and sail on. What a totally different perspective than what so many people have in life. In death, well, then it's all over. No, not really. It isn't. It's only pulling up our stakes and moving forward, moving somewhere else, moving to a place that is far better. Paul was staring death in the face, and he wasn't cowering in that. But he said he was moving on. He was going forward. For the Christian, it's a gateway to something far better. And let's always keep our focus on that. He goes on to say in verse 7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. It was a struggle. He had to labor. And he had a lot of hard work in his life. But he said, I have fought a good fight. But he kept on. He didn't give up. He didn't quit. And that's a challenge for all of us. Let's persevere. Continue persevering in this life. Yes, we're not promised a bed of roses. We're not promised easy things. We will face difficulties in life. But let's persevere. Continue on. Says he completed and finished his race. Also said, I have kept the faith. I'm not sure what that all means. And yet some of it I think is that he was abiding by the rules of the game. And the rules for the race that we have is found in the Word of God. So let's abide by the teachings of the Word of God. Let's continue in them. Persevere in them. Let's not throw them out like we see so many do today. Don't give up. Don't give in to the pressures that this world brings upon us. The Christian life is not lived without a struggle, a fight. But we aren't fighting against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities, against spiritual wickedness. Goes on in verse 8, henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. This crown of righteousness that he was going to be given. I'm not sure what you think about when you think about the crown of righteousness. In the time that Paul was living in, they all knew what a crown meant. A crown given to the winners in a race was often a crown that would soon fade. But this was a crown of righteousness that Paul was looking forward to. Could be the being made perfectly righteous before God. Possibly that. Maybe it's a reward that's given to the faithful. A crown. I don't know what it all means. But let's remember, the greatest reward will be that we can be with the Lord Jesus Christ. No matter what our crown is. But we will be with the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Savior. Our Redeemer. As Paul was facing his earthly judge, standing before Nero, he knew that he wasn't going to get a fair trial. He knew that there wasn't a chance that he could get out alive. Nero was an evil man, and he knew that. But he says that he would stand before God, and we all will stand before the Lord, the righteous judge. He will be judged righteously. We may be judged unrighteously here on this earth, but God will be a righteous judge, and he will judge us the way that we are. And then he goes on to say, it's not only Paul that would receive this crown, but all those that love his appearing. What does it mean to love the appearing of Jesus? Well, if you go in verse 10, it says, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. And I think it's the opposite of that. As we love the present world, we'll become distracted. We'll take our eyes off of Jesus. But we need to love the appearing of Jesus. We need to think about it. We need to focus on it. Long for it. That should be our focus in life. And Demas in verse 10 had a different focus, and it took him away from that crown. I'm not sure what all transpired there. But as we keep our focus on Jesus, our focus on his return, that is key to us being faithful in this life. 1 Peter 1:13, wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. Where do I find my fulfillment? Where do I find satisfaction in life? Is it this world? Or am I looking to Jesus? Am I thinking about him? Am I thinking about his return? Am I anxiously anticipating his coming back? David Miller reminds us every Sunday that God is coming back again. And we all need that reminder. God is returning. And if we expect to receive that crown of righteousness, we need to love his appearing. We need to think about it daily. We need to make that the guide of our life, thinking about Christ's return. The Christian life, as I mentioned before, is like a race. You know, we can start well, but unless we finish well, it doesn't mean much. You know, there's always a start to a race, but there's also a finish line. And for the Christian, we don't know where that finish line will be. But we need to finish well. The decisions we make in life will affect how our end will be. And we should make decisions with the end goal in mind. We need to have that as our focus. Not just think about the present, something for the moment, but let's think about the end, the future, how that will affect my end goal in life. And when is the hardest part of the race? And I had to think about this as I thought of some of our elderly here and the difficulties they're facing right now. You know, usually at the end of a race is some of the hardest times. We're wore out physically, become discouraged. And I think those are some of the things that our older ones are facing right now. Their bodies are weak. They're facing discouragement. And just knowing they can't do what they usually did. And that is where us as a church, us as a brotherhood, us as team members need to be that encouragement for them. In a relay race, and as school children do a race, you often see others cheering them on, trying to help them stay focused. Let's be winners here. And let's do that for our older brothers and sisters. We can all be winners. And as they are winners, we can rejoice in that. There was a Roman politician that commented about early Christian funerals and how they celebrated their fallen brothers and sisters as if they were athletes who had just completed their course. And what a totally different outlook. When you think about heaven, just moving on to another place, versus thinking about death and it all ends with the grave. But you know, for the Christian, they're winners. They can be winners. And we need to be encouragers for those to be faithful until God calls them home. Let's help them in that. Be encouragers. Help to strengthen them. Pray for them. Revelation 2 verse 10 says, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." 1 Peter 1 4, "To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." And I pray that we could all be encouraged today to be faithful until God calls us home. And let's especially pray for the elderly in our midst and be encouragers for them. Let's help them to finish well. Let's do what we can for them. And us as younger ones to think about the investment that our older brothers and sisters have made in the church and in the kingdom of God. And let's take their encouragement to faithfulness rather than just passing it off. I pray that God would help us not only start well, but also to finish well in the race that He has called us to run.